For the next few weeks, this is going to be an ongoing kind of series for a while, actually. And we're going to talk about different life hacks. So, you know, as you're, you know, maybe you get some ideas. Maybe we'll do some of this kind of stuff in future lessons. But I want to get to, so God has life hacks for us through His Word. He has life hacks for us. And let me read this scripture. It's found in John 10:10. This is our scripture that we're going to be using for this series. It's this. It says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Another translation says, "Have it abundantly," right? Abundant life. Like we name our churches Abundant Life, right? We name, you know, Abundant Life Ministries, and we live, it's abundant life. God has called us to have abundant life, that promised us to live life to the full. God is the ultimate life hack. Are you serious right now? We have the creator of the universe helping us do life. So He is our amazing life hack. The word life simply means this. It says all life throughout the universe is derived. It always comes and is sustained by God's self-existent life. All the life that we see in our bodies and in the plants and all kind of stuff, all that we see is from God. It's life, right? It's life. And but not only does God promise us life, He promises us abundant life. Abundant life simply means this. The word just simply means exceeding expectation. Come on, man. That's good stuff. More abundant. Going past the expected limit. God wants you to have His derived life to an unexpected, you know, past your expectation limit. That's what God has for you in life. He has given us life and life more abundantly, right? To the full, to live life the way God has meant us to live. So just like spring, what I love about spring is things come back to life, right? Listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis. Bang. This is one of Sarah's favorites, and it's amazing that you're even here. This is from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's C.S. Lewis writing, and he said this. He's talking about Aslan. If you know the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it says, "Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound," you can quote this, can't you, Sarah? "At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter will meet its death. And when he shakes his mane, we'll have spring again." You know, there's something about that when God comes on the scene. God is, if you haven't read the story, when God comes on the scene, He brings life, right? Whenever there's winter, we look at the winter, we look at the seasons, and we see winter. There's something about when you look at it, right? When you look at winter and else, everything's, it's like not even fall anymore. Like all the leaves are gone. All the beautiful leaves that we saw in fall are all gone, and it's just winter, and it's no leaves. There's no green except the evergreens. And you just look around, and it's kind of, but the truth of the matter is that there's life still in those trees. Those life is down in those roots, right? There's life still there. But when, as C.S. Lewis writes, when Aslan, an allegory for Jesus, when Aslan comes back to Narnia, all of a sudden things start growing, and the winter is pushed aside, the snow melts, right, and green starts growing, right, again. And so when Jesus comes back into our lives, there's something about it that it brings life to us. Just like when you see, you know, I believe God made the seasons, right? I believe God made the seasons, and He speaks to us about Himself through the seasons. And so when you see winter and then all of a sudden you see spring, it's such a great allegory of the fact that God is bringing life back to us. And God can bring those things that may look dead and bring life back to them. And so life and life more abundantly. That's the way I want to live, right? I want to live in that place that brings, that God brings life back to us. To live the life that God intended me to live. And let me just say, and I don't want to go too far into this, because we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. But we do have an enemy. And we do have an enemy that tries to bring, you understand that you do have an enemy, right? And it's not your spouse. And it's not your... Think about that for a minute. It's not your spouse, right? It's not your kids, right? It's not your coworkers. You have an enemy, and it is the devil. We believe in the devil in this church. And we do believe that we have an enemy, and that he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. To take what God wants for our abundant life, and he wants to take that life and rip it out of us. And so you got to understand that, you know, let me just give you a little clue. We're not in heaven yet. We're still fighting the battle. And there's things that will try to come into our lives that will try to rip life out of us. And so our goal in this whole series is, I want us to get the life that God has for us. And I believe God, through his word, gives us clues and understandings of how to get life back into us. Some of we're all on different courses of the journey. Maybe some of you, you're a new believer and you're getting into this thing. And maybe you thought, man, maybe I started coming to Hope Church, I thought everything was going to be great. I thought, everything was going to be awesome, right? Like the Lego movie, right? And you thought everything was going to be great and everything. And man, you prayed. And it's like the moment you prayed, it's like all of a sudden, like all hell broke loose in your life. You're like, things are terrible. Anybody like that? Anybody? You ask Jesus, and all of a sudden your life just goes, bleh. Sorry, I didn't mean to spit on my what? Things just went bad, right? It's because we have an enemy. It's because we have things that come against us. We have the enemy that comes against us and tries to steal what God's put on the inside of us. And so I'm determined that we're not going to let that happen to the people of Hope Church. Right. That the people of Hope Church, we're going to be people that live the abundant life that God has for us. Live the life that God has for us. So we've put together some life hacks from God's word that God has for us. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be discussing some of those hacks. Can I call God's word a hack? Call it some of those hacks that will help us to live the life that God has for us. And so this morning, I just have a couple of things. I'm going to talk about this one. Actually, this one is going to carry over till next week as well. Because this stuff, to me, this stuff is important. Because so many, you know, can we just be honest? We live at mediocrity. We just go through life. And I understand we're all going through different things in our lives. But, you know, if I just go through this day, I'll be all right. You know, if I just get through... And, you know, for some of you who work a job that you can't stand, if I can just get to lunch, if I can just get to noon, I can leave this place for at least 30 minutes or an hour, and I can breathe for a while. I can be alone in my car. How many of you are car lunch people? Come on, it's okay. Come out from among them. It's all right. It's okay. We're all good. We're all good. I've spent many, many lunches alone in my car just regaining my sanity, right? So, not when I work, you know, for church stuff. It's my other job. But I want us to live life. And I believe the first thing, you know what? I believe first things first, right? I believe the first thing that we need to learn to be able to live life and live life to the full. Hack number one is this, is we have to live close to the shepherd. We have to be people that live close to the shepherd. You know that scripture that we just read, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life and life more abundantly. That scripture is actually in the context of Jesus talking allegorically about how he is the good shepherd, right? This is in that portion of scripture where Jesus is talking about him being the good shepherd. And God is our shepherd. The problem is, so many times sheep try to wander off from the shepherd. Like, what? You know, we're like, you know, I don't know if you have dogs. I have this puppy that we're doing puppy training. And that dog, that little puppy, he's a puppy. So I give him grace. But that's the most ADD dog I've ever seen in my life. We took him to dog obedience class, you know, and he didn't listen to anything that teacher taught. He was looking at the Jordan's dog, because the Jordans were over there with us. They were looking at the Jordans, looking at all the others. They were like looking all over the place. And he wasn't listening to anything that teacher said. But But that dog, I mean, Will, and it's funny, the instructor actually said, you know, the dog has an attention span of about a second. And I go, wow. I go, that's like Christians. We have like attention span of like, what? You know, we have an attention span of like a second. Right? It's so true. It's so true. I'm included. We're all included, right? Remember, we're the island of misfit toys. It's okay. It's okay. But the great thing is, and what I was saying is, we always try to wander off from the shepherd. And that's why the shepherd has that hook thing, you know, on the end. It wasn't just a cool design. You know, wow, that's a, look at that. That's, that'd be really cool if we just put a little hook on the top of it. No, it's to take you and come back, right? Take you and grab you. Pull you back to where you're supposed to be, right? I feel like that's like God's like permanent job that he does. I don't know, come on. But he is the good shepherd. How many of you are glad that when you tried to wander away, God pulled you back? Come on, no matter where you were at, right? It's so good. God pulled you back where you're supposed to be. But the thing we need to realize about the good shepherd, about Jesus, is that Jesus, being a good shepherd, a shepherd is a relational leader. He's not just a boss, right? He's not just a boss barking out orders. He is a relational leader. He leads us. He talks to us. He comes to us, right? You know, those pictures that you see, I'm sure they're exactly what Jesus looks like. But he's holding like the sheep. He's holding the little sheep, you know. And it's such a great picture of the way God. He is a relational leader. Jesus is not an absent leader. He's personal. So if we want to have an abundant life and live the way he said we could live, we need to stick close to the shepherd. Stay close to him. There's so many analogies that we can draw from the shepherd, and if Craig was teaching, he would do a lot better job of bringing all that out. But the truth of the matter is, I want to stay close to the one who gives me life. Scripture, John 15 and verse 4 says this. It's interesting. Let me just stop here. It says, "Remain in me." It doesn't just say, "Come to me," right? You know, I mean, there's places where he says, "Come to me." It doesn't say, You know, come to church on Sunday and then leave me for the rest of the week. It doesn't say, like, just, you know, have momentary times with me. He says, remain in me. Remain in me. And I remain in you. Oh, really? That's awesome. No branch, watch this. Then he goes on. Remember, this is the context of what he's talking about. So he says this, and now he's going to explain it. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. And then he explains it. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Remember, he's talking, how do you remain in him? I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain, if. Everybody say if. You understand all of the promises of God? A lot of the promises of God come with. If you confess out of your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Right? If. There's a lot of ifs. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now watch this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. How many of you, like, you go to your vine or whatever, you got your stuff, your azaleas or whatever you got in your house, and all of a sudden now you're realizing that some of those branches on those bushes, those plants or whatever, are dead. How many of y'all realizing that? Maybe there's a portion of your bush or whatever that's not really growing. And so what do? You go out and you do what? You take it and you prune it out and you get rid of it. Why? Because it is not producing anything. It's dead, right? So just as the vine gives life to the branches, so God does to us. It's important that we stay hooked up to the vine. Listen, a lot of times what we do, even as Christians, is we try to do this whole Christian life thing on our own. Now, we won't say that. But in reality, because of our separation from the shepherd, we will do things just out of our own muscle, if you will. We'll try to overcome sin out of our own muscle. Out of our own strength, we'll just have some willpower. I can overcome. I can quit smoking if I just willpower. You know, and you try to, and then, like, let me tell you, you live a life of discouragement because there's no life that's flowing out of you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Either Jesus was telling the truth or he's lying to us. I'm sure Jesus was moving his hands. We can do nothing unless we stay close to him. James said it like this, 4:8, he said, come near to God and he will come near to you. The principle is this, and God is like this in the entirety of Scripture. God will not impose himself on anybody. He won't do it. He will give you opportunity. He will show you his goodness, right? He will do all kind of, he will be, but he will not impose himself on anybody. You understand? That's the true nature of love. When you love somebody, right, it's not a labor of, oh my gosh, I've got to take Julie on a date. Oh gosh. I gotta spend like 3 hours with Julie. Okay, I'll do it. But the analogy is drawn. That's the way some of us treat the things of God. Because there's no life. There's nothing that draws. Some of us in religion will rip that. He'll kill that when you just do stuff out of religious duty, right? You just do things out of, I'm just doing it. You know, they understand there's a deeper life to live. There's a life where you and God are in relationship. And I'm close to the Father. And it's not because, it's not simply because I've just spent like 16 hours studying the Word or done this. It's because there's something about that. I just have relationship with him and I've talked to him. He walks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we as we none other has ever known. Thank you. Because he does walk with us, right? He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. He's with us all the time, right? And all he wants us to do is stop, acknowledge him, right? Draw near to him. Spend times where you draw near to God. And the Bible promises that he will draw near to us. But he won't impose on you. If you choose to stay distant from him, he will remain his distance. Because he's not out to beat you over the head and tell you to do something. He wants us to love him for who he is, not out of some weird religious duty. You see why we should hate religious stuff so much? It rips the life out of it. You know, the do and to do's list and the to don't lists, right? It just rips the life out of what it's all about. God breathing life into you. Your relationship with God. Understand that we talked about last couple of weeks, you know, that no perfect people allowed, right? Come as you are. We come to God just like we are. Right? And he accepts us. And man, I'm telling you, if you know that, like I don't mean just know, like head knowledge, know that he loves me and he takes me. I'm sorry. There's something about when you know that he accepts you right where you're at. When you know that, man, and you can walk with him, even when you mess up, you know that he accepts you. Just then you can just go, God, I really blew it, didn't I, Lord? And he's like, yep. And you go, God, I'm really sorry, and help me. And he's right. He walks through you during that process, right? It's so good. It's so rich. That's abundant life, right? It's important. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. God does not push himself on anyone. Watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Some of us know this scripture. It says, "This day I call the heavens and earth witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Keep that up there for a second. How many of y'all wish that you were to take a multiple choice question and your teacher would have just given you the answer? Like God's cheating. Right? He's helping us cheat. He says, "I put before you, look, listen, in your life, listen, understand." He says, "Children of Israel, listen to this. There is life and there is death for you. There is blessing and there is cursing." And God says, watch this. It's not up to me. I put before you life, death, blessing, cursing. You choose. But I thought, I just became a Christian, everything's going to be hunky-dory. And God says, no, there's life available for you. There's blessing available for you. But also available for you is death and cursing. What is death and cursing? That sounds so harsh. It's death and cursing is anything that rips the life of God out of it. We see things in people's lives. People get addicted to all kind of stuff. And through that addiction, life is ripped out of them. Right? People lie about stuff. You understand our society is full of ungodliness. And before you go to like the big things, let's just take it down to just dealing in business. You understand lying in business is the norm anymore. You understand that kind of culture will rip the life out of a culture. Just those kind of little things. You understand God said, "I want to give you life and blessing." But so many people choose. Oh, no, they wouldn't say it. They wouldn't go, "I know you said choose life, but that death and cursing, that looks pretty amazing." I mean, you don't say it, right? But understand that is before us. It's life. Choose life. Choose life. So what does that look like? That looks like and being careful not to put duties on us. There is a part that we play in all this stuff. There is a part that we draw near to God. The questions are just simply this. How much time do we spend in his word? I mean, it's really simple. How much time do we spend in prayer? And I'm not saying, and Jesus spent all those 3 years with his disciples. And he was like, "You couldn't pray for an hour?" And like, not just like normal everyday life. Prayer. I mean, this is like, I'm about to go get crucified. You guys couldn't pray for an hour for like one of the biggest events in history? But the truth is, we've got to be people who seek after God. We've got to be people who are connected to the vine. If we don't, speaking blunt, this society will take you out. If you are not fully convinced of who you are, fully convinced of about the Word of God and having that Word of God, like the Scripture says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you don't have the Word of God dwelling in you on a daily basis, not just a shot here, a shot there, and a little bit of that there, and a conference here. I'm talking about dwelling in you richly like now. like when you go to work, like when you're dealing with your kids, like allowing the Spirit of God to dwell in you, the Word of God dwelling in you richly. It's because he says, in him I live and move and I have my being. Everything I have in him. But if we're not people who seek after God, and I'm not telling you you should go pray an hour. I'm not even telling you how long you should pray. That's between you and God. But I will tell you that there's life in the Word. And there's life. So, I'm at Cabela's. And all the men said, man, if heaven, there's an old Hank Williams song, remember, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie? If heaven ain't a lot like Cabela's, me and God are going to have a talk. It's a joke. So I was in Cabela's, and I bought, like, my last rod and reel. I bought it, like, I don't know, like back in the 90s or something. And so not really a pride thing, but every time I go fishing and I'm looking at, oh, these guys got really nice reels. Like, look at Mike Jordan. It's like the coolest reel I've ever seen. Like, mine's going, reel, 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 reel. It's like, I'm gonna go fish with live bait. Boom. So I don't have to. Mike's like casting. So I was talking the other day, Dave, and 20 minutes later, boom. Oh, perfect, right where I was supposed to go. So I needed a new rod and reel. So I went to Cabela's and found this online. I found it online, and then I went to the store. This is so God. I went to the store, and they had it up there for a certain. It was a certain amount of money. It was like I didn't buy no $400 rod and reel, believe me. But it was a good one, and so it was like $100 for a rod and reel combo, and it was up there, and I was like, well, online. That thing was like $59. And so the cool part about it is I told the guy, he looked it up online, he goes, yep, sure is, I'm going to give it to you. I was like, yes, Jesus. So I'm in Cabela's, and then the guy goes, what kind of, and I was also wanting to get some new bait, new kind of stuff. And I was like, man, what am I going to get? And the guy walks up, he says, he's a good guy, just a good super guy. And he goes, what do you like to fish with? And he said, I'm going to tell you what you need to fish with. He goes, where are you fishing? I said, Altoona. He goes, God help you. And he said, I'm going to show you. He goes, let me show you over here. I'm going to take you over to a bait. It's called the shaky head. And I went, whatever, dude. How many of you have ever done that? Like somebody gives you advice, you go, whatever. And then he starts telling me about all these tournaments that he's been in. He's fished. He's big. I mean, good. Right, so he goes fishing all the time, catches all kind of fish, and all his other buddies are talking about all the fish that they catch. I'm like, wow, these guys don't really know what. And so I'm talking to him, and he goes, and he takes me over down the. You guys will know. Some of you guys will know the worm aisle. I'm not a worm fisherman. I'm like, that's the lamest, you know, the lamest kind of fish. So in my own opinion, but people who catch big fish a lot of times fish with worm. Right. So he goes, so I was like, I go, well, man, you know what? I never really fish with worms, you know, those kind of plastic worms and the little heads and all. And I don't really usually do that. He goes, well, what do you usually fish with? And I said, well, I usually use crank baits, you know, this just ones that you throw and can reel back in. I go, I really just fish with that. And he went, oh, crank baits are over there. I'll see you later. And he just walks off. And I went, I'm like, what a jerk. What kind of Cabela salesman are you? And so I'm all upset. And then I go, man, this is all leading to a point. And so I'm not just telling a story. So he goes, so I'm walking over there, and I walk up to the crankbaits, and no lie, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you spoke to me. It's the truth. He said, you're going to take your own experience over this guy's experience? And I went, that means I got to go back earlier and talk to the guy after I totally dissed him. So sure enough, man, I walk over there. I walk back over there and go, hey, man, you know, I said, we show me what you got. He goes, all right. His eyes all lit up. So he's like, you coming? And he like baited it all. He goes, even like the guy was super nice. He goes, this is how you do it. And this is the head that you need. And this is the color worm. It's really biting really good over at Altoona right now. I'm like, I am an idiot. And so he goes, I'll even show you how to do it. He's like, told me how to do the little Texas rig and everything. And we hooked it up. And he goes, there you go. I was like, man, thank you. I was like, got a new reel, got a new thing that I really hope works, but, you know, okay, Holy Ghost, whatever. And so, sure enough, long story longer, I go to the lake, and I'm by myself. And, like, I've never caught anything on this reel, rod, the brand new. And I never caught anything on a worm. And all of a sudden, boom. Yeah. I caught three, one little tiny one, and two really good sized bass. One was one of the biggest fish I've ever caught in my life. Your hands aren't moving. Those of y'all who've seen pictures, raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I should have, but then I went with my son, I caught another one, and I'm like, I've already caught more fish this year than I did all last year combined. And so I went back to Cabela's, like, oh man, where's that guy? I need to hug him. I may even kiss him on the cheek, like right in front of everybody. But I just totally blew you off. I told him, I go, man, I totally blew you off. He goes, I know you did. And I told the story to his coworkers, and I said, yeah, he just told me, well, the crankbaits are over there, and just walked off. And he just thought it was the funniest thing ever. But the truth is, I didn't want to use that crankbait. I didn't want to use that lure. But because I knew that guy knew what he was talking about. And that guy had a lot more experience than I have. Then I should probably listen to what he says. And when I did, it was amazing. Okay. Do I need to take out the tell you the analogy? God says, come near to me, and I will come near to you. Man, I really didn't want to use that lure. You know why? Because it was different. I didn't really know how to use it properly. I'm like on YouTube after I bought it, trying to figure out how to fish with it. First cast, nothing. In my mind, I'm going, this don't work. But I stuck with it. And that first one was like this big, no lie. But the other one was this big. It's kind of like the gym, okay? Like, you never want to go to the gym. You never want to go to the gym. But I don't know about you, maybe you're like that. You never want to go to the gym. You never want to exercise. You never want to, but you know what? You're never sad you did. You never go, boy, that was a waste of time. It may hurt. Sometimes we just have to do things that are out of our norm. Do things that are different than we used to do, right? Do things that we've never done before. Do things that we've never... Be consistent in things that we've never been consistent in. So, this week, I'm going to issue you a challenge. Wow, that's a collective sigh. A Hope Church sigh. I want you to find a devotion this week of your own choosing. Of your own choosing. Maybe it's that devotion that, man, it looks really good. It looks really good on the back of your toilet. And you put it back there because one day you're going to read it. Or maybe it looks good on your shelf and you have to blow the dust off of it. Go, man, I should read that. Or maybe it's that devotion that you've read before. Man, it meant so much to you. And you got so much out of it. And you say, man, I'm going to do that again. I need to do that again. Maybe it's going on YouVersion. YouVersion has so many different devotions. Everything that you can think of. Devotions on YouVersion. I just want to challenge you. Do something this week. And be consistent. And be consistent at it. Draw near to God this week. Julie, I'll ask Julie to come up. And I want her to share a little bit. I'm going to let you use my mic for a second. Because I want you to want this recorded. I want you, Julie's going to share maybe some of the stuff that she does. And talk about it a little bit more.
Like tethered. I just want to, you know, the analogy David was talking about at the beginning of his message, when he was talking about the different seasons, and you know, God made the seasons, and many times they're great pictures of, even sometimes it could be where we are in our relationship with God, or where we are spiritually, or how we feel we are. And last year, like towards the last half of last year, I can't even say in any other way other than that I felt like I was in winter. And it felt very much like there was not a lot of life in my, kind of in my relationship with God, just in life in general. It was just felt very wintry. And I would just be like, what is the matter with me? What is going on? And you just push through and you just do what you know you're supposed to do. But there wasn't that, you know, we've had those great times in our life where there's just life in our relationship with God and there's life in our relationship with others and everything we do is just like exciting and fantastic. But it was just like a winter for me. I have no other way to say it. I guess what it made me feel like is that there was nothing there. And I was like, what is the matter? Mm-hmm. But the truth was, as I began to do some things differently, then life began to come. And in staying with that same analogy, you know, spring comes because the temperature warms up. Spring comes because of, you know, all the flowers, everything starts to grow because there gets to be a little more rain. The sunshine comes out, things warm up. And then life that was there, that was dormant, begins to show. And so spiritually, in our lives, this is kind of what I did. This is what I felt like the Lord showed me to do, is I started just finding several different things that I began doing on purpose to just seek after the Lord. And the picture, the analogy, and I've shared this before, was that God gave me was, it was like this ceiling, you know, the ceiling of the church here is black and you can't see any life in here. If we covered those windows, there would be no light in here and we turn out the lights, it would be dark. But if we could cut a hole in the ceiling, then we'd begin to get life through there. Then we'd cut another hole and there'd be more light and more light and more light and more light, more light, more light. And each thing we do to seek after God is like opening a window over our life. And a place for that sunshine and that warmth and for God to pour things down on us. So each thing that we do, like coming to church on Sunday, is one thing that we do once a week that opens a window. But the more you do, that may not be enough. That wasn't enough for me to to let the sunshine, the warmth come in for me to pull out of my winter. That wasn't doing it for me. That life wasn't coming. So I had to do more things to open more windows, to let more of God pour into my life for that life to come back. So I love the YouVersion. If you don't have the on my phone, I have the YouVersion, and I read stuff all the time. But if you're not a device person, then maybe you need to just, you love books, then find some books. But I love the YouVersion. But I would just encourage you this. I began to target some things that were kind of stirring in me, like if you struggle with maybe anxiety, then find a devotion that is about anxiety or about trusting in the Lord. If you struggle with just feeling like you need a fresh start, find a devotion that's about having a fresh start or a new life or something like that. Like, don't just kind of just randomly pick something, but pick something that you can seek the Lord in an area with something that's going on inside of you. Or maybe something maybe God's talking to you about love or about having hope or about faith. Then find a devotion on faith. The thing that's great about the YouVersion is some of them are 3 days long. Some of them are 365 days long and anywhere in between. Some of them are, 250 words of someone sharing, like Joyce Meyer or whatever. I have breakfast with Joyce Meyer every morning. Believe it or not, I do. I just roll like that. And so every morning, Joyce talks to me, just kind of mentors me, kind of helps me correct change. And then I have a bunch of time that I take in the Word. And, I felt like about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I felt like the Holy Spirit was challenging me to read through the Gospels. So I found a plan where I read through the Gospels in 30 days. So I'm just about finished. So I've read through because I was like, I just want a fresh look at Jesus. I just need to kind of reconnect. So we're reading through the Gospels, 3 chapters a day. And in 30 days, you can make it through all 4 Gospels. So I just want to encourage you, what's going on inside you, but open up those windows and let the life of God, if you here maybe are where kind of you're in a winter time where you feel like there's been life, but man, everything has gone dormant. Then, a great quote that I just love is, we are only as close to God as we choose to be. And if we are in a winter time in your life with God, open up some windows, get into the Word, read some devotions, spend extra time, put on some worship music, get some fresh, you need some ideas from some new good worship music, just ask one of the worship team or ask Greg and Terry. They're always looking. If you need some fresh stuff that's out there, there's great worship music out there, great new stuff. And just do some extra things to open up some more stuff to bring the life of God, bring that stuff back to life, because that doesn't mean it's dead. It just means that it needs some life.
So good. Wow.